Welcome to the Strength Talking Shop podcast. I'm your host, Matt Smith. On the Strength Talking Shop podcast, we talk all things strength, speed, performance, coaching, nutrition, and fitness. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the episode. We are presented by Optimum Nutrition Athletics. We all know that protein is the key to muscle recovery, and Gold Standard's best-selling 100% whey protein provides 24 grams of protein that mixes easily using just a glass and spoon. Gold Standard 100% whey, it's made in their state-of-the-art facility. It's banned substance tested by Informed Choice. And with Optimum Nutrition Athletics program, you can get different items such as their Pro Gainer, which is their mass gainer, protein snacks such as their crisp bars, wafers, and cake bites and almonds. And after dominating the sports and nutrition industry for over 30 years, newly created Optimum Nutrition Athletics brings that same trust and quality that knows how to put convenient options for protein in the hands of athletes who desire to become bigger, stronger, and better at their sport. If this is something that you're interested in getting into your facility, I highly suggest you reach out to Dave Harvey of Optimum Nutrition Athletics. His information is down in the show notes, guys. His email's right there. It's a direct contact where you can get these awesome products. I have been using all of these products. The whey, absolutely wonderful. Tastes so good. Easy post-workout recovery. If I need some protein snack, I'm on the go. I grab one of the almonds. I grab a crisp bar. Easy on-the-go stuff. They got tons of different options to help you and your athletes. So make sure you reach out to Dave Harvey of Optimum Nutrition Athletics. And thank you, Dave, for being our sponsor in Optimum Nutrition Athletics as well. This week's guest is Jamie Dixon. He's the owner-operator of the Fit Facility in Florence, Alabama. Wonderful episode. This is his second time being on the podcast. Very thankful to have Coach Dixon here on the podcast. If you don't follow him on social media, I highly suggest that you do. He's a wonderful follow. He's a wonderful coach. We dive into a lot of different things in here. We talk about, you know, repeated power exercises, developing that explosive power, the importance of deacceleration, and the developmental of his athletes and working in a private facility. So I really hope you guys enjoy this episode. If you do enjoy this episode, please give us that 5 stars on Apple Podcast or wherever you have this podcast at. Share it with your friends. Share it with somebody you think might like it. So again, thank you to Coach Dixon. Thank you to Dave Harvey of Optimum Nutrition Athletics. Thank you to all of our past guests and all of our future guests. And thank you to everybody that helps support this podcast. And everybody, stay strong. What's up, Strength Talking Shop Podcast? We've got part two, the man. I'm so excited to have him on again. Coach Jamie Dixon, Dixon of the Fit Facility down there in Florence, Alabama. He's got the tank on today, showing the guns out. What's going on, brother?
Not too much. Trying to stay cool down here. It's hot and humid. That's why the tank's on. So I don't normally dress like that. But yeah.
Getting after it, man. Well, you know, how have things been? Obviously, last year was crazy. We don't have to dive too much into that. But how have things been at the facility? You know, since everything's kind of gone down, you know, how the athletes doing? How's your, you know, clientele working? How's the gym going?
Yeah, so it has been about a year. Things have picked up. Things have definitely picked up, and more so than they were, you know, I guess a year and a half ago before we even got shut down. Steady growth. You know, it seems like as soon as the vaccine dropped, everybody started leaving their house a bit more. There's always going to be that population of people that never cared. Yeah. Then some of them, they're like, you know, kind of wary, wiping things down over excessively. And then, you know, some of the people that were a little bit more leery to get out of their house finally showed back up and started getting back into the swing of things. So it's been nice. And it's good back to get back in the swing of things.
So for the listeners that maybe didn't listen to the first episode, can you kind of just walk through what the Fit Facility is down there? What kind of people you're working with inside of that facility?
Yeah, for sure. So FIT, functional intelligent training. We try to take that functional training. Yeah. If anybody ever wondered. Yeah. So training with a purpose. You know, a lot of times you see things on the internet and it's just like, man, this has no function, the functionality, just pretty much in the basic sense of the word. Why are we doing these type of things? We train youth athletes, we train adult fitness clients, and then we still do our sports performance and we do personal training too. So I hate to say that, you know, my avatar is age 7 to 70, but man, it is. And, And I think if you're a small business owner, you have to be. I would have never made it as far as we have if I would have opened my doors day one and said, all we're doing is athletes, just because, you know, the adult clients paid the bills and then things kind of branched off past that. So here we are.
That's awesome, man. And I saw you celebrated, what, 4 years now?
4 years. So in April was our 4 year anniversary, and it's hard to believe it's flown by, you know, but another year about to be in the books. It's getting nice, man.
That's awesome, man. Can't wait to hear about year five, year six, and onward, man. Doing great things. You know, you made a really good post, and we talked before the podcast a little bit about this. For me, it was probably one of my favorite posts that you've put out this year. And you were talking about repeatable power exercises, and it kind of like clicked in a brain with me. You know, can you talk about that post a little bit? You know, you talked about repeatable power exercises, and you talked about intent. You had your athlete doing a, I believe it was a banded kettlebell swing. Is that correct? Can you kind of dive into a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I personally love the banded kettlebell swings, and I probably progress people a little faster than they should. But for one reason, it throws the kettlebell back behind them where it should be. And I really like that, because sometimes you, I mean, if you've ever taught the kettlebell swing, you'll see people that they'll get way too low down by their knee when it needs to be higher in the thigh. The band fixes that. And I love that just from a technical aspect, from the repeatable power aspect. We'll do stuff like that on Fridays if we were to look like a just a periodization of the week. We'll go Olympic lift variation, or, you know, an Olympic lift on Monday. We'll come back and we'll try to do some multi-planar stuff on Wednesday, maybe sandbags. And then on that Friday, I really like the repeatable stuff, maybe uninhibited stuff. We do med balls, some jumps. But the banded kettlebell swing, the repeatable power, I think it's lost, man. I think sometimes people forget about that aspect of power. And I really like the kettlebell swing. I know it's only double, you know, double extension. We're not getting anything through the ankle. But I think a lot of times when you do that, any type of Olympic lift, we short the second pull, or you see that a lot. I saw that a lot. And the kettlebell swing fixes it. So, you know, it kind of goes back to that functionality of things. Why are we doing these Olympic lifts in the first place? Become more powerful. Why are we shorting the second pull? You know? What, let's fix that. Let's go to some repeatable power stuff. I think it gives an athlete opportunity to get good at something. You know, if we do 10 kettlebell swings, it's 10 reps versus we're only going to do 3 to 5, you know, hang power cleans. It's not that many reps throughout the day.
Well, it makes me think of when they play their sport, right? They're going to have powerful output on the field repeatable times, right? That's where it's an easy translation, I think, to be able to tell the athlete, like, I'm going to have you do this banded kettlebell swing for 10 times. Right. And they can kind of directly kind of see that into their field and stuff like that. Like I think of a baseball player with a max effort, you know, power output when they're pitching kind of thing. You see that now where you've got to be able to have that repeated effort because we need it to have at that same velocity at every single time. I mean, to me, it's kind of a no brainer. And two, you can get a little bit more. I think you can get a little bit more out of it. Like you said, that's 7 extra reps if they're perfected, like you said, progressed and everything like that.
Yeah. And honestly, the population that I work with, even when we're talking about the adults, I've got some former college athletes that are really good at some of the Olympic lift variations. But frankly, you know, you're working with middle school kids who are still learning. You're working with high school kids that might not be in the football program. So it could be, you know, soccer, women's soccer, tennis, some of those sports that don't necessarily get the love that the football team does. So when you think about, you know, all right, are we going to try to pick an exercise for power? Is it going to be the power clean for these people, or is it going to be something that they could get, you know, today, right now? We're still going to teach the power clean. We're still going to do a ton of high pulls. We're still going to do all the variations and derivatives, but you just try to think, you know, I'm supplementary as in, you know, when you look at their schedule, I'm the supplementary strength coach. So what can I get these kids results now? And I really love that exercise for that. Plus, it helps with deceleration, teaching these kids how to use the brakes, which seems like a lost art nowadays.
That's a great transition because I had that talk. You had a great blog post where you talked about that, and it's kind of exactly like you said, a lost art being able to find that because you have to be able to decelerate, you know, when you're accelerating. Obviously, if you don't. That's where we're going to see a lot of injuries happening. I think you talked about the ACL in your blog post and everything. Can you kind of dive into that a little bit?
Yeah. So, you know, and it's not like I'm in the lab doing any of the research. I steal all my information from so many better strength coaches than myself. You know, I'm just like a sponge. So, you know, if I find something, I try my best to give the credit where credit's due. But like you were saying, you know, sometimes if you're always working on just the acceleration, let's say we're never catching the power clean, or excuse me, like a high pull. So we do a high pull and just drop it. We're never really doing that load absorption side of things. So, you know, that's where power cleans would be great, but that's also where the banded kettlebell swing comes in, where we're constantly absorbing that load, you know, from the band, that accentuated eccentric. And then same thing with the running. How many times do we just end the drill and they just kind of peter off somewhere in the distance and they don't put the brakes on and have to stop violently? So that's where the deceleration training, man, I really love that stuff. And any type of, you know, any, the lateral movement, man, it just, it seems like that's where the, you see kids where you can make the difference the quickest. Any type of lateral deceleration, lateral stop starts to, but really learning how to put the brakes on body control, all too often, I think that's a lost art, you know, teaching people proprioceptive awareness, kinesthetic awareness, leaning forward, leaning backwards. And I don't know where at in youth development nowadays, where they're not getting it, maybe from the youth side of things or what, but that does seem to be the thing that I see the most. Me personally, I'm sure I'm not some, you know, some anomaly, but just body control.
Yeah. I mean, that's something I see personally. Even my wife, not even in the industry, she notices that too, as well. She's like, if you're more body aware, you can feel where your body's at. You're able to stabilize, maybe decelerate and accelerate. I mean, that's the whole point of it. That's why I think it's pretty important when you're young, get your kids into some kind of MMA training, tumbling, something like that, so you can have that body awareness. Because, like, for instance, me, I have terrible body awareness. We'll be walking in a crowd and I'm bumping into people and everything like that. My wife, she's slipping and gliding because she took tumbling when she was a little kid. She was outside playing a lot. Me growing up, I was not outside playing a lot. There's a lot of video games and stuff like that. So it's kind of a minor detail, but just get your kids up and active and moving and stuff like that.
Dude, I'm like you said, I'm convinced gymnastics, any type of martial arts, any one of the wrestling, any type of those sports, I'm convinced if you could figure it out early, that opens up so many more doors athletically than anything else, than specializing early in baseball or basketball or whatever. I'm convinced that gymnastics or wrestling or judo or jiu-jitsu or any type of those things, and if you could get your kids going early in that, that is a game changer.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And two, I think it's a good foundation for them to have great movement as they get older, but it's a great transition into strength training. Like you said, like you deal with youth athletes and everything like that, because they're going to have a good base going into that. And then they're going to have another good base of training. So they're not going to be fighting. You're hoping, and I recently listened to Wendler on a podcast talk about this, like they're not fighting when they're 30 years old, losing weight, figuring things out as they get older. Like they've got a great base from when they were younger and everything like that. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. The youth training, we just started doing that back in January. And as a whole, we try to gamify everything. You know, say we pick like a, in my mind, I'm like, all right, we need to do some linear stuff today. We'll save lateral for the next day. And I just try to design as many games as I can around that, you know, that focus for the day. And you see that a lot, man. You see some people are so much further developed, and you ask them, you know, just poke and prod, you know, have you ever done this? Have you ever done that? What do you do for fun? You know? And I'm trying to work on a theory. I wish I could figure it out. What tries to, you know, how can you build the perfect little athlete very young? But surprisingly, the youth stuff has been my favorite. It's the quickest hour of my day. That's no disrespect to any of my adults or sports performance, but these little guys are fun, man.
Do they just kind of like soak up every little game and everything that you teach them?
Oh, they love it. Yeah, they love it. Yeah. And some of the most fun games are the ones that I'm not involved in at all. We do this little, you know, from like a decision-making standpoint, we have them play paper, rock, scissors. Like, all right, decide a winner. The winner is irrelevant. The winner just tells you when to go. So, you know, if you pick paper and I pick rock, we have a clear winner. Then we do the game. And then whoever wins the speed game is the winner. But from just a decision-making standpoint, I mean, learn how to make a decision. Don't wait for somebody else to go. If you think that's the winner, go. And there's so many little things that you could take away from that, but they love it. They come in and it's like, hey, are we playing this today? I'm like, nah, not today. That's next time. But so they're trying to give you ideas and stuff. It's fun.
Have you maybe done some of those games with, maybe your, high school, college athletes and everything like that? Dude, too, as well?
They come in wanting to play the games. They see the little kids playing. They're awesome. Yeah. The 10th, 11th, 12th graders, like, can we play this game? And I was like, absolutely. And I find that so funny that the, you know, the older kids, the middle school kids, the high school kids come in wanting to play those games. They see the 7, 8, 9 year olds play.
But I can't remember who it was I had on the podcast. I forgive whoever it was that was a guest, but they talked about, like, they did a lot of that for their warmups. And then sometimes they would do that for their agility work, even, because you can get out of it, or you can, whatever you put into it, you can get out of it, whatever you need. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, for sure.
I think that's a brilliant idea. And two, it's just how many times, I mean, you play college football. And I can remember when you would just do the same drill over and over and over again. You're like, man, can we just do something different for once? It's kind of a good refresher, maybe not to do all the time, but every once in a while, just kind of throw it in there.
And I'd imagine if you designed it to cover the bases that you want to cover, that you could probably get just as much or more out of that. You know, what's the level of intensity that the guys are going to be given? If it's a dull drill that they've done a million times, and honestly, the effort's just not there, are you going to get more out of that than you would if they wanted to go play a speed game? You know,
it kind of goes back to, like, originally, like, the intent side of thing. Like, what's the intent behind everything? Like, if you don't know the intent, and you're not going to put intent in it, doesn't really need to be in there. Probably need to throw it out.
Yeah. And we talked about this earlier off camera, that I am trying to throw stuff out at an expedited rate. I am trying to get rid of so much stuff so fast. And, you know, we're approaching the end of this program here this week. And, you know, when you just reassess, it's like, man, what did I like? What did I like to coach when it really comes down to it? I'm the one coaching it. So what did I feel comfortable coaching? What did I like coaching? What did people like doing? And just finding things. It's like, well, when they did this mobility drill, the intent wasn't there. And it's like, man, you hate to have to coach a mobility drill. So just throw it out, find something that they like, sign something that you like, and just keep on rolling.
Yeah, that's a really, I mean, we, like I said, we talked about that before we got rolling. That's a really big thing. Cause, like, I even was looking back, and I've got a powerlifting meet next Saturday, and I'm already looking into the future of it, right? You got your yearly plan, you want to figure things out, right? And I'm looking at it and I'm like, man, did I really need to do those three exercises on that day? You know, when you kind of read back through your notes and you watch the videos and stuff like that, I have found, and I want to get your opinion on this, like, submaximal weight with just a few accessories and then just those few mobility exercises have been biggest bang for my buck, because one, I feel better, mentally I'm better, and two, I just stay consistent with everything. I think consistency is a massive thing.
Yeah. And what can you do today to not screw up tomorrow? You know, is that what it comes down to? And I've always trying to figure out I don't want it to be taken the wrong way. What's the least amount that we can do today and still get the same result? Because you could get there and people have so much other stuff going on, man. Just knowing my place as the supplemental guy, for a lot of these sports, you know, they've already come into me and they said, hey, we've already front squat. It's like, okay, good. I'll just change it for you guys. And we'll just chase another stimulus because there's no need to hit it again. And there's no need to fry you on that end. So, you know, how can we change something different instead of, you know, doing a front squat, what else can we do? So maybe a bad example, but I just hate to keep doing the same old stuff. And like you were saying, the submaximal thing, you know, what can you do today to not screw up tomorrow? How consistent can you be with training? Because that's where you're going to get the most results.
Yeah. I found that consistency thing is just absolutely massive. Cause some days, like, you're just not going to have it. And you'll probably see that with athletes. They're not going to have it. So how can you change things up to where, like you said, things are not screwed up for tomorrow and down the week? Because, you know, if you go back to your first episode, you talked about, like, your yearly plan and how you kind of mold everything over time, which I found to be really fascinating, man, especially with being in the private sector. Like you said, you're getting kids at all different times and everything. Like, you have to really have an ABC plan all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like that example we just gave, you know, for the most part, I've got a pretty good relationship with a lot of the schools around here, and I don't have a problem texting somebody and say, hey, what's the middle school kids doing on the soccer team tomorrow? And
that's awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, like I said, I'm supplemental, and I don't want, you know, first of all, I don't want to double dip the chip. If they came in there and they already did the thing, we're not going to keep doing it. But then same thing, they don't want to do it twice. I don't want them to do it twice. So we can just change. And it gives me the opportunity to kind of open up development from another aspect, you know? So if they've already done some type of bilateral squat, we'll do something different. And that's really what it comes down to. But yeah, I just try to figure that out from, you know, of course you have to have a plan. And then from there, you know, you can fill in the gaps or you can erase some things, or, you know, reassess at the end of it what you like, what you didn't like, and it kind of changes. But you got to have something on paper. It's too many. You hate to say it, too many guys don't have anything on paper. That would be awful. But yeah, you know, saves you a lot of time, especially as a business owner. That's the last thing you want to be doing is trying to figure out what's the middle school kids going to be doing on Wednesday, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And two, like, I love what you talked about. You talked about pretty much your annual plan on the last episode too, as well. Like, having an annual plan, not just an 8-week plan, because over time things are not going to get, it's going to be yearly. It's not just going to be in a little 8-week block. You have it specific for whatever you want, but you have to look at how it progresses over the season and everything like that. And, you know, like you said, being the supplemental guy, you have to understand, like, okay, this is where we're trying to be, but maybe we need to do X, Y, and Z to get to that aspect of it. And frankly, I just don't see a lot of coaches really thinking about that in the long term. They're worried about, okay, what are we going to do for next summer? Well, what are you going to do for next summer, next fall, and next spring? Like, let's look at it that way.
Yeah. And, you know, and it seems like such an epic waste of time if you just don't go ahead and do it. Put something on paper. And if you didn't like it, you can always change it. And exactly. It's not like, yeah, you can just stretch it out. You can change it the day of. Like I said, if they'd already done it, it's not a big deal to change it. But just from a time-saving standpoint, man, it may take a little bit of time on the front end, but then at least you have something down, and it's not a complete, like, uh-oh, what are we doing? And I always design our sports performance program first, and then from that I'll branch off and do the total fitness, so like our adult stuff. And over COVID, it really gave me a lot of time to reassess the things I like, the things I don't like, how to drive intent for people, how to have tough conversations, the best way to figure out how to have tough conversations. So a perfect example of this is I developed some type of like a structured program where the first one, we're just building a base. We'll call that level one. I mean, you know, all of these are in relation to your body weight, but just develop a level of strength. This could be the ceiling for some adults. It could be just the foundation for others. Then we go level two, and this is when things start. You kind of become a badass. A lot of things are based on body weight. You're kind of getting on up there. But if somebody looks at that and says, oh man, for me, I'm going to be having to do X. I'm never going to be able to front squat X. It's like, well, then lose a little bit of weight and then, you know, lower that number. And it's like, oh, that makes perfect sense. So, you know, they kind of have that, wow, that light bulb moment for themselves without me even having to say anything. And then we've got another program, like a level three, when just a lot of frontal plane stuff, a lot of multidirectional stuff for power and different type of, you know, getting stronger in different planes of motion. So that type of stuff, man, if you just go ahead and do it one time, it saves so much time on the back end to do other things. And blows my mind how, you know, like you said, some people just still winging it.
Yeah. And that happens. And I understand you're in a time crunch sometimes and you got things you're going to do, but I mean, if you've got a staff, you're able to do it, like, might as well sit down. Let's sit down and hammer this thing out over a weekend and figure out what are your goals too. I mean, like, if you don't know what the end game is, like, how do you know where you're going to be going with that plan and everything like that? Like, having goals is absolutely massive and how you're going to make everything. I don't know.
Yeah. It's man, I live in Northwest Alabama, and it's like saying, all right, I want to go to Miami. Do I just head south? I'm like, yeah, eventually I'd get there if I just kept figuring out how to go south. Yep. Or if I had a GPS, I could get there a lot quicker and save a lot of time.
Yeah, exactly. And two, I don't remember what podcast I just listened to this recently. Like, yeah, let's say you're driving down to Miami, right? Like, you need to look and see, like, what do your tires look like on your car? Like, how does the engine look? Have you gotten the engine oil changed? Like, let's look at the car first, and then let's look at the destination. Where is the stop's going to be? Okay, where am I going to have to stop to get gas and stuff like that? Like,
oh, that's great.
Think of all those roadmaps. I think that was Dave Tate just talked about that recently. But like, for me, that was a huge aha moment where I was looking at my own plan. And I'm like, oh yeah, like, I need to look at like everything that's going on with inside my own car on my own journey and stuff like that. And where on the blocks can I, you know, just make things better. But
that makes so much sense.
Yeah. To go back on something though, real quick. And it's something I had written down here. You made a really good post too, as well. If you can't tell, I love following Coach Gibson, and everybody needs to go follow him.
Man, I'm just glad somebody's, you know, reading it. Sometimes you post some things and it's just like, ah, no one's going to read this. And you just keep going about your day. So I'm glad someone's reading it.
Well, you know, even myself, just, you know, I primarily powerlift when they're my big three lifts, but I was thinking to myself, man, a lot of my stuff is done in the sagittal plane when I looked back on it last year. And you made a post about the sagittal plane, and then you showed all these multi-directional exercises and how most people do things in the sagittal plane. And it was a huge aha moment for me where I started adding in some of those landmine exercises that you had shown. And then I started looking up more, and it was a huge aspect of my own self where I was like, okay, I'm really good at this squat, but how come every time I do a lateral squat, I am so weak? And it's because I was not strong in that plane of motion, right? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. And this is something really cool. You know, at the time when you're a football player, you don't even recognize like what any of this is. My level of education just wasn't there, you know, as a 23-year-old guy, didn't care. But say I'm a center and I'm doing like a, you know, backside post block. So my eyes are forward at the linebacker and I'm giving a hand backside. All that stuff is unilateral and I'm having to work my adductors, and all this stuff factors into that frontal plane development. And at the time it's just like, you know, well, if you're getting mushed down and you're imploding, it's for a reason. And sometimes, you know, hitting a back squat over and over and over again isn't going to fix that, because one foot's always going to be off the ground as you're walking. And and it was a light bulb moment when I started to learn about these type of things. But you know, we were talking about that multi-planar or that multi-development program. You know, there's not a whole lot of sagittal or a whole lot of frontal plane stuff on that level one program, build a base. But then once they do start to build that base, then we can dive into some of that frontal plane development, some of that multi-plane stuff. So it's not something that we just go right at immediately. And that's the same thing with the adults. A lot of these mobility drills, like if we were doing like a side squat or like a Cossack squat or like a triangle mobility, for a lot of kids and a lot of adults, that's hard enough. So we could be doing front squats and then we could put that mobility drill in, you know, your squat to stands where we take one arm over. All these things are so hard if you don't have a great base. So I don't even waste time programming it in for those people, because the mobility takes care of itself. Once we get past that, that's when things kind of get fun. When they have the mobility to do it, when they have the requisite strength to get it done, then you can kind of do some of these other things. But, you know, that's some of the filler we were talking about. If someone came in there and they're already done front squats, like, great, we're doing lateral lunges or we're doing lateral squats, and we're going to treat that like a big rock for the day. So, you know, sometimes being the supplemental guy pays off, because we get to work some of these things that get neglected.
I love that. Yeah, exactly what you just said. I love that you talked like, might be a front, so we'll just change to a side. That's going to be our big rock for the day. Like, to me, that's so awesome, because too many times you'll see just the same thing over and over again. And like you said, they're just going to be burnt out. Then they're going to get hurt. And then who does it come back on? You. You know what I mean? Like, let's change things up a little bit.
Yeah. And like I said earlier, we've got such great strength coaches around in the area, around the surrounding schools. So, you know, if they're doing the front squat, it's going to be good. There's no reason to hit it again.
Right.
So let's just do something different. And, you know, you could plug and play that same thing with so many of these other things. You guys have already done RDLs. Let's do single leg RDLs. You guys have already done RDLs. Let's do the opposite. Let's go let's do some Nordics. Let's go the other way with it. And there's just so many different things. You know, that's why everything has to be written down, but in pencil, right?
Right. Yeah. Having it written down in pencil, man, that's huge. You know, I think it's really important that you talked about the base side of everything, like, especially with the adults. Cause I mean, maybe some of them have not trained for a really long time, or maybe not trained ever in their life. I've seen a lot of, you know, your assault bike stuff a little bit. I think that's super fascinating, as far as like, that's an easy way to kind of get a lot going in there. Can you talk about that too as well?
Well, the I think I stole this from Boyle. I think he has a concept called gamer man. Either way, he treats the little kid just like he treats the older people. And dude, it makes so much sense. When I read that, I was like, dude, no way. That is the exact same thing. And you start like looking at it from that perspective. It's like, wow, little kids and the adults do kind of share a lot of the common, you know, whether it's restrictions or some of the strength levels. But the bike stuff's great, because you could just destroy somebody on a bike and it not affect them too much tomorrow. I'm not saying, you know, people don't get the wrong idea and think I'm just killing people on air bikes all day long. But no, you know, every quarter we do like a max aerobic speed test, like a 1.5 mile test, to see not only if the conditioning that we're doing is working, but, you know, for a lot of times it's going to improve regardless, because people are, you know, sedentary when they come in. So we'll do that. It's always great for them to see improvement. But we can get that number, so we could get their max aerobic speed number. And then when we do some of the programming for the assault bikes, we can go 120% of that. We can go 110%. But at least it gives us, like I was saying earlier, it gives us a target to hit. And from that number, we can kind of say, all right, I've got to be over 90 RPMs on this thing, because, you know, my max aerobic speed was X. So it helps.
I love that because it gives them a target, but then two, it's something they can see right in front of their face. And then two, progress over time, right? I mean, that's what they want to see is I was like, and it, for you as a coach, it's easy to say like, hey, you were doing this. Now we're doing this. Look how much better you've gotten over said time and everything like that.
Oh, for sure. And it's great because I can walk by when they're going and it's easy to quantify. I can see the direct, you know, force that they're putting into it. Right. And then when we really start to dial it in, this is for some more like the college kids that we're working with. We get really, really specific with it. Say, you know, what does a football play look like? 5 seconds. So we're going to work 5 seconds. What's rest look like? You know, 25 to 30 seconds. All right. Now from there, whatever your first effort was, let's try to maintain that every single time. Let's see that repeatable power effort. And then like, let's try not try to go under 90% of that, whatever it may be. So we can really, really start to quantify what we're doing on, you know, things like the air bike from that side of things and just getting people really, really great shape.
I like that, man. That reminds me a little bit of Charlie Francis's bike tempo work a little bit. I don't know if you've ever read that or anything, but it's that's more for recovery side. Like if you ever hear Buddy Morris, he talks about how he deals that with his guys in the off season and everything. But I think if you have access to one of those assault bikes and everything like that, it's a great tool for not only max effort, like you said, repeated power, but I think it's really good too as well, just for like a good recovery modality because you can see right then and there exactly how much they're putting into it. Because do you have like a wellness check-in, not a wellness check-in, but like a, I don't know how to phrase this right. When the athlete comes in, are you just kind of talking to them, see how they're doing and stuff like that? Are they having to sign anything as far as
no, like, I know what you're saying. Like one of those little papers, like how are we feeling today? You know, circle the smiley face.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. No. Yeah. You know what I mean? How are we feeling? We good? Circle which face you are today. Frowny face. Okay. Yeah. No. No, man, I talk to my people and be smart. There's sometimes, you know, you could have a little bit of a EQ about you. You know, this girl, it's 95 degrees in Alabama, 100% humidity. Someone looks like they're dying. I don't have to ask them how they're doing today or what they did the previous night. Doesn't really matter now. Just say, hey, you know, do half of what everybody else is doing. Let's take it easy. Because I'm not trying to kill kids and not literally kill them, but I'm not trying to be the coach that's trying to, oh, we're about to get tough today. Like, again, I'm the supplemental guy. You know, I want it to be fun. I want people to want to come back and I want to get something out of it. So we're not trying to build mental toughness here. We're not trying to do that. I'm not saying it's not important. It's just not part of what we do. You know, for me, it would be a waste of time and a waste of my effort too. But no, I love that idea. I don't know how I could implement it. Just like a type of questionnaire to see looking back. Some people, if, you know, just not consistent enough to come, you know, someone, I don't have somebody every single day and I couldn't collect enough data for it to be meaningful.
Yeah. So it's more beneficial on your side just to use that good coaching eye and asking the right questions. You said something on the last episode that to me is like, was a game changer. Was we were talking about water and hydration and stuff like that. Cause if I recall, it was starting to get a little hot then.
Yeah. I'll never forget that, man. Cause it's mind blowing.
Yeah. You said, and I've said that to, I don't know how many coaches I've literally used those exact words where it's like, and even then there was an aha moment where, yeah, like how much water have you drink and not did you drink water today?
Right. And it just didn't even occur to me until then. I have no idea why I asked him. Maybe it's just like, you know, you're shooting the stuff with them. And how much water do you drink a day? You know, a bottle, like a big bottle, little bottle, small bottle. Like, what are we talking about? No, just a regular bottle. That's it. Dude, we live in Alabama. It's so humid. What are you doing? Right. Like, you hate to say this, but it's like, dude, you're not serious. Like, you can't be serious about whatever we're trying to do. If that's all you're, you know, if you're just drinking a bottle of water a day, you're not serious. And you hate to have that conversation with somebody. It's like, come on, man. Like, it's water. It's the essence of life. And you drink a bottle of it. what we're talking about, a performance. We're talking about, you're about to fall out regardless, man. I'll never forget that, dude. That was funny.
Well, and for you as a coach, though, it kind of gives you a good perspective of, like, where as a coach can I help educate these people? Are you finding that you're being a lot – as much as of a coach, you're being an educator on, like, because here's the thing, there's a lot of BS out there in the fitness world and you're able to kind of, I wouldn't say squish it, but you're able to answer the questions that maybe people have and stuff like that.
Yeah. And it's always great when they're interested, you know, and they ask me questions all the time. I had a guy, I'll give him a shout out to Neil. He hit me up this morning and he sent me a list of his smoothie that he made. And we were just going back and forth on like what we like smoothies. But it's just great that he's, you know, going into eighth grade, going into ninth grade, excited about drinking, you know, protein smoothies or like, you know, putting that's fruit awesome. In and just but getting like something out of it. It's like, yeah, I'm gonna throw some strawberry and banana for my carbs, and I'll have my protein, and you know, you'll have that side of things, and then you'll have the side where they wake up and like, yeah, I had a Pop-Tart and some Oreos, and there just needs to be a complete, you know, complete mind change on what breakfast is from there. But yeah.
I love that, man. You know, for your own self, like, you know, you were a Division II like center, mm-hmm. like big dude. I've seen those pictures of you, man. How hard was it for you? Or not hard, but like, what was that journey like for you? Like when you were done playing, where you're like, I'm going to get jacked, man. I'm going to get fit.
I'll never forget it, man. I was, I had a fire pit in the back of my house in college, and me and my dad were building it. I just remember this was the summer in between, no, the winter in between my 11th or my junior and senior year. And I was just like, man, I feel disgusting. I was just like, I can't wait for this to be over. I am so ready to just lose some weight. Just, I felt bad. And just from the mental perspective of that, I was like, I am so over weighing this much or having to weigh this much. But yeah, I remember as soon as we got beat by Delta State, I was like, all right, it starts tomorrow. And if you really just keep the level of output that you always had, you know, if you're a college football player and you're just working out all the time, adjust your calories. And it's really not, you know, more than likely you hadn't been that weight too long anyway. So your body's going to go back to whatever you should have been naturally anyway. So, I just remember that, like, this is the breaking. That was the breaking point for me when I'm like, all right, I'm over it. I'm ready to be done. I remember that distinct moment. I'm like, this is it. I can't wait.
Yeah. Has it kind of helped you in your own facility, you know, being a business owner and stuff like that, being in the gym, like actually doing what you know, you preach to the athletes and then your clients and stuff like that. Has that kind of helped with a little bit of the buy-in? Cause I know you put your stuff on social media and stuff like that too, as well. Has that kind of helped?
No, for sure. More so if I post the conditioning stuff, because working out's easy. That's the fun stuff, you know, when you post some of the workouts, but like nobody wants to go get their teeth kicked in with some conditioning. We'll do our conditioning on Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. So when they post me, you know, or when they see posts of me, like, you know, sharing my times and sharing my heart rate intervals and whatnot. Of course. And they asked me, you know, how was it? You know, I was like, man, today I'm gonna be real honest, guys. I got back from the beach 2 days ago and I got my teeth kicked in. It was awful. So get ready. But it definitely helps with buy-in. You know, nobody wants to do something that the coach doesn't do, you know, and you know, that's true to a certain extent. You know, if I'm 65 years old, 70 years old, that's not going to be so true. If you've been in the industry forever, you know, you can get away with not doing that. But if I'm a strapping young gentleman, I better be able to do this stuff.
Well, I mean, it's what you do for a living. Love being, you know what I mean? Like, that's just my kind of thing. And I'm not, you know, Rhodes has been on here and I know you've heard it too. It's like, you don't have to go squat like 500 pounds. Just do something, like go
right.
Put yourself through something. Cause then they can see like those intervals, man. Like I love when you post the interval stuff up, cause it makes me even self-evaluate myself. Like how much cardio work am I doing? How much am I doing of this and that? And it helps people. I mean, to me, it's just kind of like a no-brainer kind of thing. And that aspect of everything. So I don't know.
Oh, for sure. And the we'll call them like play drives, especially for some of the football players where we get on there, just sprint for 5 seconds on the air bike. And then we have the rest, whatever rest interval would be for their play. And then let's say, all right, we got six plays. We're doing drives. And, you know, they see me as like, yeah, I did five drives, you know, five different ones. And, you know, from that point, yeah, definitely helps. I've never worked out with my players. Probably never will. But when they all follow each other on social media, they all follow me too. Yeah. So they see it. And you can talk about it, definitely creates buy-in.
I love that. The drive aspect, man, that's such a low hanging fruit as far as like a mental aspect thing to get them to buy in. Cause those suck, like doing a 5 minute, like any kind of sprint on a bike. But then too, you talked about the rest period, man, that's so important to have that good, nice rest period for exactly what you're doing. Too many times you see sprint work and it just turns into mindless work because we're not, you know, they're not taking the time to.
The intent, it goes back to the intent. And if I can get out there with my calculator and whether we're looking at RPMs or watts and I say, all right, look, we're getting really close to 90%. So that's when things are going to start, you know, we'll say, all right, this is more, it's going to get sloppy after this. We'll ease off of it. And just for them knowing, it's like, all right, we're getting close. You either better step it up or we're going to, you know, take our foot off the gas a little bit. it definitely helps.
Well, and I think it's easy, and it's very easy for the athlete to understand, like, this is what I need you to do, and this is where we're going to, why we're going to be doing it kind of thing. Cause then,
dude, kids nowadays want to know that.
Right.
Sometimes coaches will take it as disrespect. It's not disrespect. That's just how they are nowadays. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that, because if you say, hey man, how many, what's the average amount of plays in a drive? I don't know, like six. All right, six it is. And I'll punch it in on the little console. How long does it usually last? It's like, I don't know, like 5 to 6 seconds. All right, let's go for 5 to 6 seconds. How long is your rest in between plays? Man, it's about 30 seconds. All right, we'll rest for about 30 seconds. And they're like, I see where this is going. Then we're going to go sit on the bench over there for a little while. Then we're going to do it again. And when they think of it like that, it's like, oh, of course, this makes too much sense. Let's go.
Yep.
But they feel like they're part of the process. You know, when they're, you know, I'm guiding the questions here because I already know the answers, but they're the ones giving it to me, and they see me just punching in the numbers they just said, you know, now they feel like they're part of the process. They feel like they helped design this conditioning session.
Man, that's huge. I absolutely love that. Cause like you just said, it gets them a part of the process of everything that they're doing. And like, it kind of puts a little bit, I mean, obviously you're the coach, you know, you have the end saying on everything, but like, kind of puts a little bit of weight on their shoulders of like, okay, I've got to go out and perform now. Like, this is where I need to do, right?
Absolutely. And it doesn't even have to be with the air bike. I mean, you can obviously, you know, give that guided questionnaire to them on anything. It's like, all right, we're going to do some speed work today, and it's going to be some multi-directional stuff. I want maximum effort for 5 seconds. You already know how long you're going to get to rest because we've already talked about this, but they feel part of the process. And it's not like we're just going to go forever because they already know how long we're going to go, you know, about the length of their play.
Man, I love that. That's a great tool that I think a lot of coaches can use. And it's an easy way to be able to continue to have that buy-in. And then two, that you want to have that constant communication with the athlete, because you as a coach are looking for that. You don't know what they're feeling on the inside. You can only see on the outside, right? You can tell a lot from body language and stuff like that, but you got to get that feedback. So like we just talked about, we'll go back to it, like your plan, like how can I evolve my plan? Like, was that really beneficial or not beneficial kind of thing? And are they getting the results that they want? Because at the end of the day, like, especially with your sports kids, like, they are to go perform at their sport, right? And if they're not able to do that, maybe need to change stuff up.
Exactly. And some of these kids are going to start going back to college here soon. And I'll tell you, one of the best things that can happen, just from a psychological standpoint, is them going back to school, whether they're a freshman or a senior, because it's going to happen on both sides, saying, I could not have done anything more. I am in the best shape I've ever been in, and I'm about to go kill it. That's going to go so much further than anything else that, you know, I could have done as far as programming wise, but just the mental aspect of like, if you're a freshman going into a big D1 school for the first time, it's like, oh, yeah, I've seen literally everything. You get there and it's like, I've done these before. I know how to do this. I've done all this stuff. Just the confidence that you could build through that, you know, there's no exercise for that. You know,
it's kind of so, like, you know, they're not having to cram for a test. Right. That's the thing.
They've got the cheat sheet. Yeah. They've got it in their back pocket.
You've already done it several times, you know, hay's in the barn. Like, let's get rolling. Like, let's just move through it. I think that's easy aspect, and the confidence side is big. Like, kids are just looking for confidence nowadays too. Like, if you can give them that, man, sky's the limit. Like, how much better would you feel going into, you know, when you were playing ball and stuff like that, if you had all that?
Dude. It, you know, and this is something that I guess, like, I know old coaches probably forget this because I forgot it. You're going to a new school. You don't know anybody. You don't know what to expect because things are different. You know, things are even something simple like the name of an exercise being different. It still puts that mental wear on you. So if you just, you know, if anything were all the same and the vernacular are the same, at least it gives you that confidence to get in there. It's like, oh, I've done this before. So at least it takes that little bit off of you. So that's huge.
What I love too is that you said you have a relationship with a lot of the high schools too in your area. Like, I think that's awesome, man. Like, you know, kudos for you to being able to like create those relationships. I think a lot more coaches can do that, where they can, you know, they know their athletes working at a private facility, like, hey, reach out to each other and like, let's figure things out and let's get on the same page. So we can put, again, at the end of the day, who's it about? Like, the athlete, right? It's about that person. So I think that's a no-brainer.
Yeah. And at the very least, even if somebody's a private sector coach listening to this and like, I'm not going to call the coaches, at least ask your players what they did today. You know, hey, did you have practice today? Did you, like, just ask them, they're in there, you know, some, they might not remember the name of the exercise, but show me what you did today. like, okay, you've already done this. So, you know, even if you didn't want to reach out to the surrounding coaches for whatever reason, at least you could do is ask your players, you know?
Absolutely. I agree. As we wind down here, Coach Dixon, want to, you know, kind of get you out here with how can people follow you? Where can they look at you on social media?
Yeah. So, on my personal pages on everything, it's All Things Dixon. That makes it really easy. So if I'm on social media on that channel, it's All Things Dixon. And then, the business page is The Fit Facility. So the_fit_fit facility. We're pretty active on pretty much just Instagram and Facebook. So when it comes to the business stuff, it's just Instagram and Facebook.
Awesome. We got a great update the blog. Great website too.
Yeah.
Great website, man. Well, as we get out here, last question of the day, man, what are you grateful for?
Ooh, man, put me on the spot.
I know. Dude, getting heavy.
Honestly. Yeah, man. I tell my people this all the time. You know, people come in, how was your day? I was okay. Why, you know, work. I'm grateful for the people that I get to be around. Because whether it's the kids, the adults, all of them, man, there's not a single person that I don't love to train. They're all great. They all have different flavors. And the cool thing about my job is that I may work a lot of hours, but everything's so different throughout the day that it never feels like droning. And man, I'm incredibly grateful for that, that I can go from some adult fitness stuff to some college sports to back to youth stuff, back to middle school, then back to total fitness for adults. It's just that's a blessing. Even though you're working a lot of hours, it's a blessing. So I'm incredibly grateful for the people that I get coach for sure.
Man, absolutely. I love that. Well, Coach, I appreciate you being on here for the second time. Gonna have to have you on for a third, fourth, fifth. I don't care. Like, I love talking with you. I love following you, man. So I appreciate you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, everybody, make sure you reach out to him on social media. If you don't, and everybody, stay strong.